Hi.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and thank you for joining us once again at Mad Scientist Exposed. And I thought we'd talk about some of the recent science in the headlines. There's some pretty strange stuff going on. There was, I guess a little over a week ago, there was an article in, where is it? In the New York Times about a new form, alternative form of mental health support. And it was for people who hear voices. And this new therapy was talk therapy. And they're playing it off as something new because what they've been doing for a lot of years is just giving people prescriptions. And the prescriptions were causing a lot of damage. And so, people weren't... weren't necessarily helped by these things. They would have other side effects. The voices would either go away or not. And anyway, so the article in the New York Times is an alternative form of mental health care gained a foothold. And then, so it starts off in Holyoke, Massachusetts. Some of the voices inside Caroline White's head have been a lifelong comfort, as protective as a favorite aunt. It was the other voices, you're nothing, they're out to get you, to kill you, that led her down a rabbit hole of failed treatments and over a decade of hospitalizations, therapy, and medications, all aimed at silencing those internal threats. At a support group here for so-called voice hearers, however, she tried something radically different. She allowed other members of the group to address the voice directly. What is it you want? After I thought about it, she says, I realized that the voice valued my safety, wanted me to be respected and better supported by the others, said Ms. White, 34, who since the session in late 2014 has become a leader in a growing alliance of such groups called Hearing Voices Network, or HVN. At a time when Congress is debating measures to extend the reach of mainstream psychiatry, particularly to the severely psychotic, who often end up in prison or homeless, an alternative kind of mental health care is taking root that is very much anti-mainstream. It is largely non-medical, focused on holistic recovery rather than symptom treatment, and increasingly accessible through an assortment of in-home services, residential centers, and groups like the Voices Network Ms. White turned to, in which members help one another understand each voice as a metaphor rather than try to extinguish it. For the first time, in this country, experts say psychiatry's critics are mounting a sustained, broadly based effort to provide people with practical options rather than solely alleging abuses like over-medication and involuntary restraint. And just because somebody hears voices doesn't mean they're dangerous, you know. Some people recognize it as a psychic ability, particularly if they're, voices from the past or spiritual voices or whatever they call it. Instead of clairvoyance, they call it clairaudience. But I guess it depends what they're saying to you, if they're verifiable from other sources, telling you things that you couldn't have known otherwise. I guess that would be how to tell. It says, the reason these programs are proliferating now is society's shameful neglect of the severely ill, which creates a vacuum of great need, said Dr. Alan Francis, a professor emeritus of psychiatry at Duke University. It goes on and on, open dialogue. Some psychiatrists are wary, they say, given that medication can be life-changing for many people with mental health problems, and rigorous research on these alternatives is scarce. Well, there's the classic... from old Woody Allen movies, just the classic image of somebody lying on a couch talking to somebody who's interpreting the dreams for them or helping them understand things in life that are confusing. And that's about as close as, is my image of it. It is a comedy out of Woody Allen. So maybe that's not so good. But anyway, some psychiatrists are wary. I would advise anyone to be carefully evaluated by a psychiatrist with expertise in treating psychotic disorders before embarking on any such alternative programs, said Dr. Ronald Pies, a professor of psychiatry at SUNY Upstate University in Syracuse, New York. Many, though not all, patients with acute psychotic symptoms are too seriously ill to do without immediate medication and lack the family support that those programs generally rely on. So I guess he means the programs where they talk through, well, if you have the group support, I don't know that, there's a lot of people out there that don't necessarily live with family, so why not rely on the group support that it's designed around. Anyway, what this puts me in mind of is the movie from way back, I think it was like 2002, A Beautiful Life, and it was about the math genius, Dr. Nash. He was a professor, I don't remember which university it was, but he started seeing things and just seeing and hearing things. You know, these images would talk to him, these hallucinations, and it got to be where he was imagining this involvement with the spy network and CIA and decoding, coded messages from the enemy and all this stuff. And it got really bad, so they started drugging him. And it destroyed his ability to do his math effectively. It destroyed his family life, his relationship with his wife. It made like a zombie out of him. And so he got really frustrated with it, and he just stopped the medications on his own without the direction of a certified doctor to take him off the medications. And he learned to recognize which visions were reality and which were hallucinations. He learned to distinguish between the two. And that way, over time, he just went through his life and just ignoring the things that weren't real and, of course, engaging the things that were real. And he was able to, finish his career and resume his family life. And, the movie kind of ended there. And I guess they call it A Beautiful Mind, maybe because he was seeing things or his mind was generating all these things. And maybe what he should have done is written a book. It's probably, novelists come up with all these stories. They don't necessarily see themselves in them in the first person, but, before you progress too far in the movie and you see all these images with him, you think it's part of the real plot. And, it's kind of interesting that maybe there is some espionage going on. You don't know if it's a spy movie or what it is. And, it would have been a great book just on its own, but he learned to distinguish, and that's, I think, why they call it A Beautiful Mind, is because he was smart enough to figure out this is real and this isn't real, and I'm only going to pay attention to the real stuff. And that's how the movie ended. And it was 2002. He only just died last year in a car crash at the age of 86, the real John Nash. He and his wife were coming back from Europe. He received a math award over there. I don't remember what it was. And they were on their way back from the airport to their home in New Jersey and the Jersey Turnpike. And I don't know, somebody was going the wrong way or the car jumped the median. I don't really remember exactly what happened, but he died. He and his wife both died in that crash. They were in their 80s. And it was a pretty sad way to go, but it was quick, I guess. It wasn't a long-suffering illness kind of thing. But, they say long illnesses are harder on the person that's passing, but sudden deaths are really hard on the people left behind, and that's kind of true. I mean, yes, he was in his 80s, but he was healthy, or as healthy as could be. And one of the footnotes in the movie was that the longer he ignored the hallucinations, the more they kind of faded from his life. They weren't as persistent, and he had managed to get a hold of it, and it's like any other muscle, the more you work it, the stronger it gets. And just kind of an interesting thing. Now, one thing that is kind of an interesting side note, if we're assuming that hearing voices is schizophrenia, I'm not sure that it is, but if schizophrenia is the cause of it, there are some studies going on which are showing that some antibiotics will actually cure schizophrenia. And I know there's a whole industry of certified psychiatrists all built up around schizophrenia, but there were several institutions that noticed when they gave a schizophrenic acne medicine and specific antibiotics, the schizophrenia would go away, and they traced it down to an actual infestation or infection in the brain of, in particular, toxoplasmosis, which is it's a parasite that, outdoor cats can get under their claws and then they'll track it into the house, into their cat box or whatever. And they particularly don't want pregnant women changing cat boxes because they could pick this up. It's a parasite. And I think it also shows up in pork that's not cooked so well. So you got to be careful and cook your pork really well. And wash your hands when you're changing cat boxes, particularly if it's an indoor outdoor cat. And, But this is kind of interesting. There was a story way back, I guess it was about 2008, 2009, the Tucson shooting with Jared Loughner, where Gabby Giffords was shot. And he was certified schizophrenic. And before he could go to trial, the judge kept sending him to a mental institution in Missouri, I think it was. And they were giving him the standard schizophrenic drugs. And, you know, and then they would periodically test him to see if he was ready to stand trial, able to aid in his own defense and all that. And he wasn't. It was going on for months. And, you know, as at the time I was living in Tucson, I just wanted to see this case resolved. You know, politically I had my differences with Gabby Giffords, but nobody should go through what she went through. And I don't blame the gun that he had. I blamed his mental illness. And apparently he was known to the community college there and to his family to have mental illness, but he wasn't getting help. And I guess he was of legal age, so his parents couldn't force him. And, you know, how do you force somebody to get legal help? Mental help. Anyway, several of these articles came out about, gee, schizophrenia, some of it can be treated with antibiotics. And so I found his lawyer's website. There wasn't a contact form on it. It was, I just kind of deduced it from it doing a who is on the domain name. And I sent it through there, you know, when you have a domain name, you have the option of domain privacy. At least in the U.S., you do domain privacy or putting your contact information on the ownership of the domain when you do a who is on a domain. So you go to whois.com and look up any domain. And sometimes they encode these email addresses. And so I took a guess that this coded email address would go to the right lawyer. And so I sent her these articles that I was finding about schizophrenia and antibiotics. And, she couldn't respond to me. It is client, you know, lawyer privilege, you know, privacy. But just a few months later, he was deemed sane enough, recovered enough from schizophrenia to plead guilty. And that was it. They sentenced him and that was it. And he went from, you know, certified nutcase schizophrenia to sane enough to plead his entire life away in prison. So that, I was kind of shocked by that whole thing. And I'll always wonder, did she see my article? Or did she find it on her own? Or did the psychiatric drugs help him? Or did he learn this trick like Jonathan Nash, the mathematician, to just figure out what to ignore and what not to ignore? I'll never know, but I'm just kind of fascinated by that story. And I'll take a short break here. If you'd like to join the conversation, or if you want to listen on your phone, if you're out and about your business rather than listening online and you want to listen by phone, you can give us a call, 347-324-3704, 347-324-3704. And if you want to join the conversation, just hit one there, and I'll see your little number pop up. So anyway, I'm going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade the Motion Picture. A view into the globalist domain.
Bella's Infamous Film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We are here to let them know the new world government has been identified, and they thought they just cloned the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up, speak out.
See the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today.
at ShaneTheMotionPicture.com.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at SerenityRug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's SerenityRug.com.
My name is Dr. Eric Norman. I have studied vitamin B12 deficiency for over 35 years. I have developed the urinary MMA test to detect tissue B12 deficiency early, allowing treatment and prevention of permanent disability. B12 deficiency can cause anemia, but also neurologic problems such as spinal cord degeneration, paranoia, and dementia. B12 is found only in animal sources, so vegetarians become deficient. As people age, they may not produce enough stomach acid or intrinsic factor protein for absorption of B12 and become deficient. Up to 10% of seniors may have a normal serum B12 level, but a tissue B12 deficiency causing a 3 times greater risk for heart attack, stroke, or Alzheimer's. For more information, visit B12.com.
Hi, well, I'm back, and that last commercial just intrigued the heck out of me because I was reading up on this just the other day, vitamin B12, because just a few days ago, the Italian Parliament is considering outlawing veganism for children. I wrote up a blog post on it. The Italian Parliament is considering outlawing vegan and vegetarian diets for children based on what I think is obsolete science. The headline on their article is, "Parents who force vegan diets on their kids may face 4 years in jail in Italy." And let me click on that. I'll read you a couple paragraphs of that. Parents who enforce a vegan diet or vegetarian diet on their children in Italy could soon be jailed for up to 4 years. Proposed new laws would make it an offense to deprive children of the nutrients essential for their growth. Elvira Savino from Italy's center-right Forza Party says her bill would prevent radicalized, quote-unquote, diets being imposed on youngsters. Vegetarian and vegan diets can lack zinc, iron, omega-3s, and vitamin D and B12, she claimed. And if her bill is successful, imposing such a diet on someone under 16 would become a criminal offense. I love how they keep using the word imposing and enforcing. And, you know, you can offer kids, you know, food to eat, and they can, you know, my kids, you can't make somebody eat something, and you can't make somebody not eat something. You know, I guess you can refuse to buy it. But, you know, there's always relatives and parties and things in schools, and there's just not a way to do it. Anyway, this intrigued me that because I'm not a vegetarian or a vegan, but I do watch some on YouTube, and I'm just impressed by all get out, by how great their skin looks. They look totally healthy and, you know, and glowing and just, now I will say that I have seen families where every one of them, the parents and the kids, look like emaciated skeletal pieces of taffy just stretched out. And just, and I that was a few years ago, the whole family came into a social event that we were at, and then they left again. And I don't really know what they were, but it was all a very PC crowd, and I'm sure a lot of the people in that crowd were vegetarians. And but I don't really know why that whole family looked absolutely skeletal. I don't know. I mean, they were well dressed, they were clean and combed, and all that. And they actually brought food and participated in the potluck. I don't remember what they brought, but I don't know why they were so thin, because the parents were as thin as the kids. But anyway, by this list here, vegetarian vegan diets can lack zinc, iron, omega-3, vitamin D, and B12. Well, that just intrigued me. I had to go start looking it up. And I started, you know, sometimes I like leaving comments on on news articles. You know, I do a lot of like anti-vaccine recruiting when I do that. I'll put up links to FDA web, you know, FDA package inserts and things like that. And my response started getting a little bit long, which is why I made a blog post out of it instead. So anyway, to say a vegetarian diet is lacking vitamin D is totally ridiculous. You have to absolutely stay out of the sun to not get vitamin D. And it's, you know, so that's very easily, if you're a vegetarian, you can go out in the sun and get your vitamin D. And it's also available in mushrooms that have been exposed to light. We don't know what it is about mushrooms. When I was a kid, you know, they told us there's the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom. And my kids learned something that, well, the fungus kingdom falls somewhere in between. And so they have a property of animals, which is if they're exposed to sunlight, they can develop vitamin D, and then you just eat it in the mushroom. Of course, you can also buy, you know, supplement capsules, and that's all well and good. But there's at least, you know, in nature, you can get vitamin D with, you know, without resorting to eating meat or fish. But you can actually, a lot of fishes contain vitamin D, but I wouldn't necessarily call it vegetarian. Anyway, omega-3s is easily obtained from several non-meat sources. Soy, walnuts, canola oil, flax seeds and flaxseed oil, hemp seed oil, chia seeds, and chia seed oil. So there's, you know, if you want to avail yourself of sources of omega-3, then those are available for you. And this is just Google, you know. Zinc was the next on the list. And zinc is easily obtained from beans, nuts, and whole grains. The next on her list was iron, and that's easily obtained from legumes, all kinds of legumes, lentils, soybeans, tofu, tempeh, which is something, I don't know what that is, I'll have to research that, lima beans, and from grains, quinoa, fortified cereals, brown rice, oatmeal, nuts and seeds, pumpkin, squash, seeds, pine, I guess that would be pine nuts, pistachio, sunflower, cashew, and unhulled sesame. And vitamin B12 is a problem. But they are finding new sources that are non-meat sources, non-animal sources that you can get them. And the research is still very new in this, but it's looking like certain sea vegetables can provide vitamin B12, certain mushrooms, and specially treated hydroponic lettuce. So you'd have to use, I guess, a special supplement that the lettuce would absorb, and then you would eat it in the lettuce. And oddly enough, organic but unwashed produce, you know, particularly root vegetables like beets or carrots or something. I guess you want to shake off the extra dirt, but there's something in the dirt that, the particular bacteria that are in your gut to make vitamin B12. If you wash the produce really well, you don't get the benefit of that particular bacteria. It's, you know, it's, you know, like you think of yogurt as, you know, it's got the probiotics in it, and this is kind of like the probiotic to help you make the vitamin B12. But if you scrub the vegetable too well, so I would probably only do that if I was growing it myself, because, you know, when you're buying it from a market, even if it says organic, you know, you just don't know the situation or how clean the hands were, or the people that picked it, or what kind of dirt, even if it was organic dirt, you know, so... You know, so that was coming along. And so for her to say, well, vegetarian and vegan diets are abusive because they deny children all these different nutrients, is that's just plain wrong. And we're coming around the corner on finding kingdom sources of vitamin B12. So anyway, I thought that was kind of an interesting, you know, I just hate when, you know, people try to legislate science. If you have to legislate science, it's not science anymore. It's politics. And, you know, I posted a couple of pictures of the two vegan YouTubers that I watched, the YouTube stars with just the glowing skin and the glowing health. And both of them turned to veganism to save their own lives. They both got some drastic. I know the one, John Kohler, interviewed a couple of times, and what he had was spinal meningitis, and he nearly died. And they told, oh, your immune system's kind of weak, and so you'll be lucky to get out of this hospital. And so that was over 20 years ago now, and he was an adult at the time. He was in college, so I've deduced his age. You know, he's in his 40s, and he's got many years, at least 5 years, with the videos on YouTube. And the honest thing is, the older the video, the older he looks. The guy is reverse aging, you know, and he's doing something right. And I'm not there yet. I'm still aging. But and this other lady, she's in her 20s, and so she naturally looks wonderful anyway. But, you know, she talks about her health problems, and she was, I guess, crashing into diabetes in her late teens. And so I have my suspicions as to how people's health crash when they're so young and vibrant. And I have my opinions about vaccines, and some of it can stand up and, you know, under scientific scrutiny, particularly if you read the package inserts. Anyway, so this lady in Italy, this parliamentarian, is really jumping the gun here. And I don't know what kind of civil rights and human rights they have in Italy. I really don't know. But I just thought that was over the top for me, and just trying to force people to eat meat, you know, somebody else's children. I'm going to force your children to eat meat. It's like forcing somebody's children to have a vaccine. And, you know, there's so many vaccines that with the ingredients that people just do not agree with. Like, some are really manufactured with human fetal tissue. And so to me, that's a form of cannibalism. And so right there, it's like, I would refuse those. And anyway, I told that story before, how we got tricked into it by our pediatrician, who actually told us an untruth. I don't know if somebody lied to her or if she intentionally lied to me, told me it was fetal pig tissue. But now, these days, I can download the package inserts, and it's human fetal tissue, and that's just beyond the pale for me. Anyway, so I thought it might be interesting to talk a little bit about Hillary Clinton's health, because she's been in the news lately, and I don't know you know, how many people listen to mainstream and how many people listen to some of these truther websites, or you know, people call them conspiracy websites, or the CIA started that term in order to downplay that. Oh, it's just a conspiracy theory. You know what? If there's a conspiracy theory, you know, maybe there's a conspiracy. And if there's a conspiracy, there's probably a crime. You know, anyway, Hillary, we don't know what's making her so sick, but she can barely stand up, and people are laughing all over Facebook. Well, first they were laughing about her hugging Obama on the night of her, I can't say her nomination, because Bernie Sanders was actually nominated by the voters, but her coronation as the DNC, the Democratic candidate for this general election for president. And Milo Yiannopoulos, he's the conservative editor, one of the conservative editors for Breitbart. Well, he's a very flamboyant gay man, but he's very conservative, and so he's if you can find his YouTube channel and see some of his interviews, I mean, he's right on the money as far as his logic and science and everything. And he posted a picture from the DNC the night of Hillary's coronation as the nominee, of her hugging Obama. And it just, they both had their eyes closed. They're both kind of smiling like, hi, you know, and all he could say was, see something, say something. It's like there's something wrong with this. And I just burst out laughing. And yeah, they don't like him on Twitter. They threw him off of Twitter because he gave a bad review to the new Ghostbusters movie. He didn't like all the man bashing that they did. And he got into an argument with Leslie Jones, one of the stars, the black actress. He retorted back to her, oh, rejected by another black man, you know, implying that she was kind of masculine for his taste or something. I don't know what it was, but anyway, that got him banned permanently off of Twitter. So, but you know what? It made a star out of him. Now pretty much everybody knows his name. I'm sure you knew it before I spoke it. But anyway, where is it going with that? Oh, he posted a picture of Hillary and Obama, and just today, there's a picture of Hillary and Joe Biden, and you know she gave a talk yesterday in Scranton, Pennsylvania, a rally, and they filmed it to look like it was as big as a Trump rally, and people were cheering at almost every phrase she had. It just drug on forever, and frankly, I went to sleep on it, and when I woke up and she was still talking, I just couldn't stand it anymore, and I turned it off because I am no fan of Hillary Clinton. But apparently, as it was ending, you know, and Joe Biden had given the warm-up speech and all that, and like the first 15 minutes of her speech, it was just her praising Joe Biden, you know, like why is this about Hillary? Why is it about Joe Biden? But anyway, there's a picture going around where near the end or wherever, I missed it when I fell asleep, they hugged. And it was an awkward, long hug, too. And, you know, from what I've been hearing from the Alex Jones show and some other outlets, she's a very sick woman. And she can, you know, she can't climb stairs. There's pictures of her, and maybe you caught him on the Drudge Report. People on both sides of her helping her up the stairs, a short flight of, you know, stone steps at the entrance to some building. And there's video of her lapsing into a short seizure when too many reporters were talking to her at once. This is neurological stuff. And, you know, and there's also pictures of this man that accompanies her everywhere she goes, but he's not Secret Service. But he's the big, I guess he could be. He's a big, burly guy, but in his hand, they identified what was in his hand. It's a diazepam pen, and that's to bring somebody out of a seizure if they go into a seizure. And so the Secret Service contacted Alex Jones and actually flew somebody out and met with his staff, Joe Biggs, and said, yes, she has Parkinson's. And so I'm going to break just for a moment, and I'll be back.
Play on, play that. Play on, play that. Yo, drink, drop, reverse.
I like the way you grow with no pesticides. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow with so locally. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow with no GMOs. I like the way you twerk it. No diggity, no doubt.
We've got squash and peas. Calling it a pack for all your bees. Melons you want to squeeze. Yes, please. Yes, please.
Okay, I'm going to break out of that. I was expecting some visitors, and they showed up, and they didn't realize I was not within reach of the door. Anyway, going back to Hillary Clinton, yeah, the Secret Service came, and they met with the Alex Jones staff, and they told her, look, the public has a right to know. She's got Parkinson's, and you know, she is having seizures, and she's very weak, and she's not balanced, and they, at least, you know, physically in her legs, and they've done quite a bit of renovation on parts of the cars in the motorcade that she uses to give her a step so that she can get into the cars without falling. And so things are really, really going wrong with her. And from what I've heard, you know, Parkinson's is an autoimmune disease. And there's a whole bunch of types, and it's, you know, characterized with the shaking head and stuff, which I guess could be related to some of the seizures she's been having. And it's just kind of a sad thing. So if you'd like to join the show, give us a call at 347-324-3704 and hit 1, and we do have a caller. So, hi, how you doing? Is this it?
Hi.
Hello?
Yes. Thank
Hi.
You. Hi.
So what's happening?
Well, you were talking about diet a while ago, and you said mentioned tempeh, and you're not sure what tempeh was. And I'm looking at it. I'm looking at these big loaves of tempeh in Jakarta, Indonesia. They're wrapped in banana leaves. And what they are is a traditional soy product. It's made by natural culturing and controlled fermentation that binds the soybeans into a cake form. It's, let me see here, what does it say? It's a staple source of protein. It's made from soybeans, but unlike tofu, it has different nutritional characteristics and textural qualities. The fermentation process retains the whole bean. It gives it a higher content of protein, dietary fiber, and vitamins as a firm texture, and it's called, and it says it has an earthy flavor. I can always almost imagine what earthy flavor is, and it becomes more earthy as it ages. Maybe like kimchi becomes stronger the longer it stays in the bag, you know, hanging from a person's porch or something like that. But they use it as a meat analog. I hadn't seen that before, meat analog. So it provides something very similar. Yeah, yeah, that's pretty good. I'm almost sure that I've had tempeh before. Almost sure.
Wow.
You know what it looks like? The loaf of tempeh looks like Spam. It looks like a whole thing of Spam, if you know what I mean. It has almost exactly the same color and texture. So now
kind
I'm kind of hungry for it. It would be kind of fun to try it, I think, you know?
Boy, it just looks like bread to me. It looks like
bread.
Bread.
Oh,
I'm pulling it up on Google Images.
You're not on the site I am. Let me scroll down here and see what the site is. Tempeh, search Wikipedia. It's T-E-M-P-E-H, and it pops up on Wikipedia. And there's some.
Kind of looks like soda bread.
I guess it looks like bread. What if you enlarge it a little bit? Now, you are looking at the pictures where it's wrapped in something green, like those are the banana leaves, I guess. Wrapped in banana leaves.
Okay, that's one picture. There's some others. It looks like soybeans glued together with some kind of cheese is what it looks like to me.
Wow. Okay.
I've saw a lot of these pictures. I've never heard of it before reading this article and Googling up sources of iron, you know.
Well, I've tried tofu. So, I don't much care for tofu, but this looks a little meatier than tofu. It looks like it might be good. But maybe adding some flavor to it might be good too, you know, if you eat it with something tasty.
Yeah, here's a plate where they made it look like corned beef hash.
Ooh, that's kind of nice.
So it's
like
probably
that.
Got a bunch of salt or something.
you were mentioning Hillary, and it's funny,
I
do astrology, and I was just looking at her natal chart. As a matter of fact, I did a YouTube video today of Hillary's natal chart. It's the first one I've done, and she has there's some good qualities there. I mean, there really are. Suzanne, you know, she was originally very drawn into doing social engineering and not social engineering, improving the life for women and children and families and stuff. But there is a really weird thing going on in her chart. What it is she's got Mars and Pluto and Saturn all conjunct at the rising sign, at the ascendant. And those planets are very, very difficult together. And I think what it is I think she's just been worn out in her life, some kind of incredibly tangled and powerful energies like her emotions must be just overwrought almost. And I think that the what she's feeling and what's happening to her is kind of like leading her down a path of ill health. And it's kind of like maybe wearing out her body earlier than it should. Maybe that's how people descend. Well, this is why it's so difficult for an astrologer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not supposed to ever talk about anything like this with a client. And I try to avoid it, but I'm just telling you that after looking at her chart, it does look like there could be a process going on there that's causing her some problems, you know. And there's just too many heavy emotions of anger, you know. If there's too much anger and there's strife and contention and hatred and stuff, it's just all tangled together. The Mars and Pluto together.
Is there ambition in that chart? Is that why? Or is this George Soros' ambition and she's just doing what he bids?
Well, I don't know. I haven't looked at Soros' chart. Now I need to look at George Soros, I guess, and see what's going on. But I'm sure that there's going to be some kind of analogy there. There's going to be some kind of combination. And also, what about the combination between her and Bill? You know, the chart shows that she would have terrible embarrassment and problems relating to her husband, which is exactly what happened because of his affairs and all that scandal that broke in the 1990s, you know, and continuing until very recently, from what I can tell.
Well, she's recovering for him. And you know, she was doing that before, I think, they met George Soros.
The chart is not meant for an easy, peaceful life. Her chart, especially with the Mars, I usually see that as somebody who's like into, let's say, military or law enforcement or like a boxer in a boxing ring or something, something very physical, something using, I almost don't have the words for it, you know. If I start to describe what I see in her chart, I start making little clucking noises and weird things because I just can't string. I just can't find the words.
She's trying to think out loud.
Yeah. But I mean, let's see here. I could look. I actually have a textbook here. If we keep going here a little bit, I can read you. See, I don't make these things up. I mean, when I say...
No, I know. You're very talented.
Yeah.
You're touching on a plane that science won't acknowledge yet, you know? But there's something going on
Mars
out there.
Suzanne, she has Mars within 1 degree of a conjunction with Pluto. That probably doesn't mean much to the people in the audience, but I'm telling you, Mars is the planet of energy, of desire, of anger, and Pluto is a very intensifying planet where you touch it to anything in the chart and it makes it 10 times stronger. Usually those two planets together are not so good. Now here it says, if Mars is strong in conjunction with Pluto, it will, and this is from Sequoyan and Acker's book, Astrological Aspects, I guess it is, okay? It says, if Mars is strong, this conjunction will serve only to intensify personal lust, greed, and egotism, making the person potentially dangerous and destructive. It requires highly developed individuals to make the Plutonian principle of will control the desires. If such control is achieved, then great powers of regeneration will make it possible, a spiritual leadership, etc. I'm turning the page. In the horoscope of a less developed person, this conjunction produces violent natures and occasionally criminal tendencies, you know? And I've seen that also before sometimes, that generals, you know, who end up on the wrong side. I mean, generals that
yeah.
in this case is fought against in history have this kind of stuff. Really tough guys, like probably something like General Patton or, you know, Douglas MacArthur may have something like this, but they usually have something that
because there's so many people that have died just since the DNC convention.
Well, I don't
under
know much
mysterious
about
circumstances.
That. What do you mean by people that have died?
Well,
if
the guy that we think gave the DNC email to WikiLeaks, he was shot.
Okay.
A block from his house, you know, shot in the back, and they first wanted to write it off to a robbery, but nothing was taken, you know.
Wow. Okay.
And there's been like several people that have died. One was a lawyer who served a class action suit against the DNC for on behalf of Bernie voters, for them naming Hillary the nominee when Bernie had the votes, and so he within days, he just suddenly died, very mysteriously. And then there was another guy who was set to testify, I don't know, was it just a deposition or what, he was set to do in a bribery case involving the Clintons somehow. And that one, I'm a little fuzzier on who exactly that was. But
was that the United Nations guy? Was that the black
Yeah, I think
guy
it was.
Somewhere in the United Nations. And he, his throat was, his larynx was crushed or something like that?
Yeah, the story was that the barbells fell on him while he was lifting weights.
Hmm.
That's the story. But then there's other stories that he had a heart attack instead. So, you know, the bright heart attack gun. Who knows? But you know, these people are scary people. You know, no matter how they die, even if it's all innocent, it's just amazing how many people die around the Clintons times that it's so convenient for them to die. You know?
I would say they're not scary. The person who's scary is Hillary Clinton. Listen to this here.
All these people are dying around her. They can't all be natural causes. I mean, she must have some really wicked, cursed life to have all these people dying around her.
Be really careful.
All the time.
If
she's got a personality akin to a general, then she's okay with killing her enemies. You know?
Now, listen, I was talking about, now, I mentioned Mars conjunction Pluto, but here's Mars conjunct Saturn, and Saturn is the planet that's right on her rising sign. It says, on the positive side, this gives a capacity for hard work, enduring strength, resourcefulness, and courage in situations of danger and great difficulty. Spartan qualities favor military careers or situations in which the person must use caution and prudence in the face of danger, but very often they resent people who lead easier lives. But unless it's very well aspected in a good horoscope, this can signify a tendency toward anger, hard feelings, and malice. Negative attitudes combined with resentment and
violence
can result.
This all come out in Secret Service books. these are personality traits that have come out in Secret Service books. I don't know if you've
No, I'm just looking at a chart. That's all I'm doing is looking at a chart.
Yeah.
The anger is due to the Saturn frustration of action. The action is the Mars, but when Saturn is there, it frustrates the action and self-expression. She doesn't feel that she can ever get to where she really wants to be. There's something frustrating her, you see. Therefore, they suppress their anger until it suddenly erupts. So she's going around like a pressure cooker, and then suddenly it erupts in anger. In a heavily afflicted horoscope,
that's the story that we hear from these insiders, is that she just suddenly blows up at people.
Well, I can't say that she's a heavily afflicted horoscope, but just those three planets on the rising sign is something that's very, very rarely seen. I mean, maybe 1 in 1,000 people would have that combination. It says that if somebody who has these aspects, organized, deliberate destruction could follow. There could also be an ambition for power that leads to oppressive and dictatorial attitudes. So definitely I would say that she's looking for power. Now, here we get into the physical side. Sequoyan and Acker wrote this in 1978. I think this book came out in 78, and I discovered it just about that time. I've used this book ever since. Let me go to the front page and look. It's called The Astrologer's Handbook. The Astrologer's Handbook by Sequoyan, S-A-K-O-I-A-N, and Acker. Those are two astrologers. One's a male, the other's female. It was Harper and Row. So it's a mainline publisher, Harper and Row. Copyright 1973. That's even older than I thought. I discovered it probably later in the decade. But here's the physical thing. It says, if this conjunction is afflicted, and it is, the natives, well, that would be anybody who has the aspect, are prone to broken bones or inflammation and other diseases of the skin and the tendency to be rigid, you know. But so inflammation, well, there can be many types of inflammation. Mm-hmm. There can be many
neurological stuff going on.
Hasn't she had several accidents in the last, five years?
Oh, yeah, she keeps falling down. Yeah, she had her arm in a sling for a while, like in 2009 or something, and then she fell and hit her head, you know, before the Benghazi thing, hearings. And so she's wearing those big black glasses, prismatic glasses, for a while. And somebody did a list of her falls. There's like five of them in the last 10 years, five major falls, you know, and so now they're making sure she's not going to fall again on the campaign, and they're helping her up, you know, people, a person on each side of her, anytime she has to go up steps, you know, and they've retrofitted these sleeve cars for her so she can get in without falling and you know, I was cracking a joke the other day, you know, I said, well, it's somebody I was just talking to on Facebook. They didn't believe that she was having seizures. I said, well, the way to find out, I guess, would be one of the debates if the video that I showed, you know, all these reporters started talking to her at once, and all of a sudden her head just started going wacko, 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 and she laughs it off. She played it off like she meant to do it, like it's some kind of joke, and you're supposed to laugh along with her, but you don't really know why you're laughing. You know, that's what she's doing, and then she manages to come out of it, and she was able to walk away, but she didn't answer the questions they were yelling at her. But anyway, I thought, well, okay, the way to find out would be if Trump starts talking loud and fast at her during a debate and see how she responds. And then I said, but that would be cool. I wouldn't actually do that. I would just watch to see what happens, just naturally kind of thing. But then one of these Alex Jones videos I was watching, you know, they were talking about how she reacts to flashing lights, and that's why she can't have a news press conference, because she might get a bunch of reporters with flash bulbs in her face, and so she can't do that because she just, you know, would collapse on the ground there. Anyway, so he was cracking a joke about sneaking a flash bulb into a some event that she's at and seeing if it could trigger this, and like that would just be cruel. I wouldn't want to do that to somebody. Just if it's going to happen, it's going to happen, and it's going to come out. But he had the same idea I did, to see if we can prove it just by triggering it kind of stuff. That would be cool. Even though I don't like Hillary Clinton, I think she has a lot of evil intentions. I couldn't do that to another human being, intentionally trigger a seizure.
She is a woman, but this chart is just so dominant and controlling that I just don't see her being a woman, 100% woman in a relationship. You know, the Venus, the soft, caring Venus side of her nature is sublimated to all this aggression.
I was kind of surprised she picked a man
anger.
As a running mate. Because I get
we
the impression
don't know
she's
going
a
man
hater, and I'd be a man hater too if I were married to Bill, you know. But, but you know, there's more stories coming out that during his presidency, or you know, since their marriage, she's been wearing the pants of the family, and there's stories in Roger Stone's book that she's actually the one that ordered Janet Reno to attack, kill all those families, women and children.
That's a terrible thing. I remember that was a terrible thing. Is there some
it wasn't Bill at all,
sexual?
And it's like, well, we didn't vote for her. Nobody voted for her. The country voted for Bill, and actually, well, there was both of his presidency runs were a three-way races, and he only got a plurality. He never got the majority on either of his races. What?
Suzanne,
she's the one that ordered
me. Is there some talk that she might be bisexual, have some leanings towards women?
Yeah, there's some talk of that.
Well,
I think it's more like a dominating thing. I think it's more like a
the eighth house.
Do you see something in the chart?
The eighth house of a person's horoscope is sex, death, regeneration, karma, and that house has to do with sexuality. In that house is where her moon is. Her moon is in Pisces in the eighth house. That's kind of a soft spot for her because Pisces is very sensual and very dreamy and very feminine. So that's in the house of sex, and it makes strong aspects to her some of her Scorpio planets, including Venus and Mercury. Venus is also has to do with women. So Venus, the planet of femininity, is in a strong aspect in her chart to Moon, which is also a planet of women, but more the woman aspect of the mother of the.
So she doesn't have femininity of her own, but she'll view it.
I think this is where it comes out.
Yeah, I think there's something funny going on with Huma and with this other woman, Mills. You know, these
she
two
may
women.
Be seeking it somewhere. Yeah.
I don't know.
I have another book. I found another book here. I was looking at it the other day. James Braha, Braha. I think he lives in Florida, and he does both Western astrology and Vedic Hindu astrology. And he had a book about 20 years ago called How to Be a Great Astrologer, maybe 25 years ago. So when he says this stuff, he's not talking about the Clintons. He wrote this stuff and researched it way before the Clintons came to power. But he's talking about Mars in conjunction with Pluto. Now, that's one of the things that she has in her chart. It says, the person must be aware of their tendency to fulfill their desires by any means. There is a distinct tendency toward manipulation or using deceptive, devious tactics. In this way, the person is both shrewd and subtle. She is particularly uncaring about rules and regulations when they are in the way of her ambitions. There's potentially a fierce
temper. You mean like a private home email server?
There is potentially a fierce temper, and the person will experience the true meaning of rage in her lifetime. I'm substituting her for he wrote it his, but I'm substituting the feminine pronoun.
Wow.
She is capable of realizing the greatest goals and accomplishments, but she must be diligent, rigorous, and responsible about the use of her power. If the conjunction of Mars and Pluto is afflicted by aspects from other planets, it is, because Saturn is there, person may be cruel or ruthless in forcing her will on others. So, isn't that something?
You mean like not providing security to the Benghazi embassy? Things like not providing security to the Benghazi.
Gosh only knows what was going on there and why she decided that was important to do that.
It's
going to
come out. I swear it's going to come out because, I mean, it's coming out in the email, supposedly WikiLeaks says there's more emails to come.
Very interesting. Now, let me compare. She has Mars and Pluto and Saturn on the rising sign in Leo. Guess what? Donald Trump has Mars in Leo on the rising sign as well. But his Mars is not flanked by two malefic planets. His Mars is there by itself, and it has good aspects to the sun on one side and to the moon on the other. The sun and moon both give his Mars positive energy so that he can use the best side of Mars, which is to say power and virtue and a positive, strong masculine energy that wants to build something. I mean, he's a builder after all, you know, building skyscrapers and stuff.
Yeah.
I see
it's
Mars
kind of amazing.
Is effective and positive. And her Mars is, because it's flanked with Pluto on one side and Saturn on the other, almost self-destructive, you know? I think she's her own worst enemy in some way. Some way she's her own worst enemy. And therefore, the things that she does that are so that she wants to do to, improve healthcare, improve the status of women, bring in more refugees or whatever.
She'll do it whether you want it or not, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, all that stuff seems to be negated or swallowed up by these bad personal characteristics that I just don't see her fulfilling the quest of doing all that social engineering and stuff that she wants to do of changing
society. No, people
don't
want to be engineered. That's doomed to failure. People don't want to be engineered.
Ah, but she does want to engineer people because she has these masterful, dominating aspects.
Yeah, is there a planet that will designate arrogance? Because that's what she is.
Well,
I don't know.
As they say,
Braha has a website, and I'm looking at the website.
Mars can be arrogant. Do you notice that sometimes Trump can be self-absorbed and takes everything very personally? That's a Mars thing. But now I just want you to realize everything that you see Trump do, Hillary does about five times more, and in a more negative way, than that.
Yeah, I see him. Yeah, with him, it's defensive stuff, and with her, it's aggressive stuff. That's kind of I have to defer to you as to what the chart says because I astrology was not even part of my consciousness before talking to you. You know, but
sure.
Something matches up there somewhere.
Do you mind if I just read you one more thing? Now, I was just reading Mars conjunction Pluto. That's Mars conjunction Pluto, which I saw as being negative. Now, here's Mars conjunction Saturn. If Mars is conjunct Saturn, the person lives a life of restrained impulses. Energy comes in spurts. Sometimes she is too controlled. At other times, she's too aggressive. This is a difficult one to endure because of this paradoxical nature. On the one hand, every single impulse the person has, dampens. Okay, Saturn dampens every single impulse the person has the very instant that it occurs. The person vacillates between inhibiting her urges and fulfilling them with a vengeance. It is a frustrating way to live. It is decidedly painful during childhood when restrictiveness from parents and authorities is already the order of the day. So she must have been very restricted by her parents and rebelled, against...
We'd have to look up her parents and get their charts. Maybe they let her arrogance grow like a weed. Maybe that's why she can get away with...
The parents can be seen in the chart. Let me talk about Trump for a second. Donald Trump was born with the sun, which represents the father, in conjunction with planet Uranus, in the 10th house, in other words, in his midheaven. Right up on top of his chart is the sun, which is his father, in conjunction with Uranus, which is a planet of kind of genius and really radical and unusual things and developments and doing stuff that nobody else does, the adventurer, the explorer, anyway. So I think he identifies with his father. You hear him talk 10 times. I don't know if he's ever referred to his mother.
Yes, he has.
His father all the time.
And his mother knew when people were trying to put her on, and she wouldn't put up with it. And I see that in him. I think he reads people like a book, and he gives them enough rope to hang themselves, like what happened with Ted Cruz at the convention. He knew Ted Cruz was not going to endorse him, and he knew it was going to backfire on Cruz because Trump, I think, has an innate understanding of human nature. And he knew what Cruz was going to do,
right?
And he knew, and he gave him just enough help to do that. And so now Cruz is struggling to get himself reelected to the Senate in Texas. So
I
got to
look
at
Cruz's chart a little bit more. I've looked at it, but I can't remember a thing about it right now. I just don't want to think about Ted Cruz. The guy bothers me.
No.
But in the Trump case,
he's out of the picture right now.
Let me tell you. The sun is the father, and that is at the top of Trump's chart, and the moon is the mother, and she's in the fourth house, exactly opposite the sun. So that's the domestic side. The mother was stated home and did the mother stuff and raised the kids and all that other stuff, you know. And he has definitely sided with the father over the mother, you know. And you see these photographs where they're looking at maps together. And yeah, he wanted to grow up to be, you know, also in real estate and wanted to, his father to be proud of him and everything. So you can see this in a person's chart. And in Clinton's case, we have something totally different here. But let me just read on just a little bit. The combination of the two traditional malefics, that's Mars and Saturn, may give an overabundance of negative energy. The person is capable of extraordinary anger, coldness, malicious intent, and destructiveness. When her frustrations peak, she can experience fits of rage. She is capable of deviousness and a profound and subtle, profound or subtle, meanness. She may experience a few colossal accidents in her time, and with all truly unwelcomed and difficult astrological aspects, the extremities of such behavior are likely to be experienced more readily during childhood and adolescence. So she started out with this kind of stuff going against her, you know. Well, it's just very difficult, and I think that what it is this energy that's just so negative bursts forth ultimately in her physical, you know, body, and giving her whatever the problems are.
Oh, I mean, it's kind of funny that Bill is so sick at the same time. And it makes me think they've been seeing the same doctors and getting the same vaccines on schedule, on the same schedule, because they're both so sick at the same time. I mean, he can barely stand up. In fact, I guess he must have heart trouble or something, because he breathes through his nose and his mouth at the same time. And it's kind of unsettling to watch him standing behind Hillary, you know, when those times that he is, when she's giving a speech, and he's like standing there with his jaw hanging open, and like, you know, because he needs that extra oxygen, because he's got that heart trouble.
And I've noticed that his voice is very wheezy in a kind of way that it never was in the 1990s. Kind of the wheeze in there.
There's a wheeze in there.
Yep.
Well,
a wheeze.
It's
more like this. It's more like this now. You know, more like this than ever before.
Now we gotta pity them, because they're in this whole Clinton Foundation scandals together, and they're both so sick. You know, I just wish they could see the light before they meet their makers, you know? I mean, God will forgive on your deathbed, you know, if they just wake up to what they're doing to the rest of us, just selling the whole country, you know?
Yeah.
Do you hear the chickens? My visitors just came in with chickens, and they're clucking, and it's kind of fun. I don't know. Well, I should take one more break here before the last few minutes of the show. So if you can hang on, I'll find some good stuff. There's so many here to choose from. It's kind of sad, you know. I can't play it all. It all sounds so interesting, you know. And let's see what this one is.
Making the Best of Basics in print for 42 years has now gone digital. The best-selling preparedness book in history, written by your CPR radio host, James Thomas Stevens, is available on DVD or as a digital download at makingthebestofbasics.com. Visit the site, select your preferred version, and enter the code Dr. Prepper, D-O-C-T-O-R Prepper, in the coupon box on the checkout page, and get your copy for half off at only $19.95. There is no other book on the preparedness lifestyle better than Making the Best of Basics. Get your copy today.
No, this isn't a good one.
I'm Dr. Prepper. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the next minute or so with this preparedness radio presentation of A Lifestyle Moment by the Lifestyle Prepper, my Italian friend, Al Di Liberto.
Hello, everyone. Today I'm going to share an incident that happened at my restaurant some years back. On a slow night at my restaurant, I noticed a man sitting all alone. Well, I made it a point to strike up a conversation with people who came in alone, giving them attention so they could feel at home. It was about 7 o'clock in the evening when I said hello, and we struck up a conversation. Guess what time I said goodnight to this gentleman? About 2 o'clock in the morning in the parking lot outside the restaurant, and we've been friends ever since. It turned out that this fellow, a regular-looking guy, was one of the smartest men I'd ever met in my life. About my age of 60 then, he told me how he'd taken over an electronic supply business and grew it into a multi-million dollar operation. When he did an analysis of my business for me, I realized just how sharp and intelligent he was. I sure learned a lot from him, and I fed him well, too. History is full of stories of prominent people whom you'd never recognize walking around, even monarchs who went into their kingdom in disguise. That odd fellow or lady on that park bench might well be the CEO of a famous company who just decided to get out of the rat race. I realized that if I would throw away my preconceived notions, I might just have the opportunity to gather up gems of wisdom that might change my life from that very special person that may be sent my way today. We don't know where or when we're going to come across these special people, and if we have preconceived notions about what they're going to look like, how old they'll be, or where we'll meet them, we could very well miss them. And really, everyone we meet is special, just as each of us is special. They could be the checkout clerk at the grocery store or the old lady on the park bench, just as well as your new boss or business client. Whoever they are, wherever they are, I've learned to keep in mind the following adage. What can I learn from this person? And what can I give to this person? That back and forth between two people of goodwill benefits both, and that makes for a better world around us. That's all I've got to say today. Thanks for listening.
Oh,
hello, this is Al DiLiberto, the lifestyle prepper. The leading cause of bankruptcy in the United States is medical bills.
What's going on?
Medical bills can be disastrous to your family, even if you have health insurance. If you have hospital bills you can't pay or anticipate a hospital stay, send me an email for information that can help at www.savemoneyonhealthcare.com. My email address is at www.savemoneyonhealthcare.com.
Oh, he didn't do another fade out with a mandolin. I love mandolins. Anyway, so I just Googled up some articles on healing Parkinson's naturally, and because you know, I have a distant relative who's afflicted with it, and actually another very professional musician in Tucson that has it too, and it's just a horrible thing. Anyway, so this person, this is fredphillips.wordpress.com, My Journey with Parkinson's, A Natural Approach, and what's the date on this? Oh, it's a very long article. I can just maybe skim it. Oh, well, there's some comments as recently as this past spring. Oh, just a couple days ago. So people are still following this article. I'm experiencing what the medical community calls Parkinson's disease. I was diagnosed several years ago, and since receiving this diagnosis, I have held firm to the belief that Parkinson's, like all health conditions, can be overcome. In fact, there are documented cases of people who have completely recovered from this supposedly incurable condition. And, oh, boy, I'm a big believer in not taking hope away from people. You know, telling people that you're going to be sick and crippled the rest of your life. You know, that's just the even people in wheelchairs, that's absolutely the wrong message to give people. I mean, we did that episode a few weeks ago about at least two people in Tucson that have recovered use of their legs and arms. You know, they were told they would never walk again with just stepping outside of American Western medicine. You know, so anyway, the one guy turned to Tai Chi, and the other guy actually flew to India and got some stem cell injections. And I don't know if they were embryonic or his own adult stem cells. I don't know. Anyway, he goes on. This guy, Fred Phillips, goes on. Although I have not yet overcome it myself, I would like to share with you my journey in the hopes that you too can recover from Parkinson's or any other condition you're experiencing, because the protocol I'm using has universal application. On a side note, because I get asked a lot, I do not take meds, nor do I intend to. Wow. So Hillary, I know, is chock full of meds because they have people standing next to her with the shot pens at the ready. Anyway, I encourage you to read this entire article, but in the event that you don't, because I just scrolled down and it is very long, please know this. If you are experiencing a quote-unquote disease, it can be healed. Your body's natural tendency is to be in homeostasis, perfect health, and it will do whatever it can to be in a state. It just needs help getting there. The four most important things that you can do to help your body achieve homeostasis are: eat healthy, natural, organic foods, detoxify. He's got a link off to to another article about that. Create happiness and calm in all aspects of your life. Eliminate stress and fear and exercise. That sounds like a perfect recipe for health for anything, no matter what's afflicting you. So anyway,
Suzanne, you know, someone like Hillary Clinton, even when you look at the planets on her rising sign, they're giving her so much trouble. Do you know there must be an antidote for a lot of that just in diet? So in other words, let's say that she's on a low-protein diet, a high-veggie diet or something. She might be able to cure a lot of those things that are causing her the instability
the detoxing,
and the
anger. You've got a whole separate article on detoxing, and I see so much of that in some of the Facebook groups on natural health recovery. You know, and there's different things. There's bentonite clay. There's different things that will leach toxins out of your body. You know, something as simple as borax. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago, too, fluoridation. If you can neutralize the fluoride in your water with borax, you know, just tiny quantities. It's like, you know, an eighth of a teaspoon for like a gallon or two of water. It's just crazy. And when you do that, you start also by consuming this water with the borax in it, you start leaching the fluoride out of your bones and out of your body, and your body can then put in the real nutrients that need to be there that the fluoride is displacing. So, there's a lot of this. I think the detoxing is probably related to whatever is ailing you. And, there's articles on the borax actually curing arthritis and osteoporosis and all kinds of stuff, and stuff that the FDA will never approve. But, you know, at least in the U.S., you can walk into a grocery store and buy a box of borax, 20 mule team in the laundry detergent section, but you can't even do that in Europe. There, you know, that's the EU and the what do they call that? Is it Agenda 21 or the Codex Alimentarius, where they really, really restrict what you're allowed to eat. You're not allowed to take more vitamin B than they decree you can have, which is only a fraction of what you actually need, you know, and you know, just people just oppressing other people, you know, it just really, really bugs me, you know, the big boot of the government.
I would say looking at Hillary Clinton's chart that there may be heavy metals may be plaguing her, because Saturn and Pluto especially are very, there's a certain metallic quality there that tells me that maybe she was exposed to some lead or something like that as a child.
Well, the way that she and Bill are aging so fast together, I think they're on the same diet. You know, I guess he got off the Big Macs while he was in office. You know, so I don't know what he's eating now. I guess maybe we'd look out and find it on a search and find out what they're actually eating. But I'll bet you they're just taking
the weird never seen that.
I don't know. I mean, we all learned from John Kasich, you don't eat on camera, just don't do it. I mean, people laugh at Trump's Twitter pictures with his taco shells and his KFC. They were laughing because he eats KFC with a knife and a fork. Well, you know, it could have been for the coleslaw.
he
wasn't putting it to his mouth. But
people were ridiculing him.
Huh?
He was ridiculed. He was ridiculed, and he fell out of the campaign. I mean, he might as well have
gone
home and
Well, he was eating pizza, yeah. While the cameras, he's stuffing this huge pizza in his mouth. And it's like, that's those guys saying, I don't want that for president.
Yeah, talking with reporters and jamming food down his throat. Yeah, it's a little crazy.
Yeah, that was awful. But whereas Trump, you can photograph him with food, but he's not eating it when you're photographing him. That's for sure. And so Hillary knows that, too. We all learned from John Kasich. Anyway, but so we don't even know. I don't know what Hillary eats. I have no idea. But, you know, some of the detoxing stuff would be a good idea, you know, because I'm convinced that, you know, they were ridiculing when they were talking about, you know, the vaccines last year. They don't do that anymore because Dr. Ben Carson actually agreed with Trump in the second Republican debate. And Dr. Ben Carson used to be on the board of a vaccine manufacturing company. And for him to actually agree with Trump's skepticism, maybe we can space him out. Maybe we're giving babies too much all at once, you know, that should be able to let the parents space it out. Yeah, and once Ben Carson backed him up on that, the whole media just dropped it like a ton of bricks, because we had these big fights going on just this, I guess it was last Friday, 4 days ago, a court heard the case in California, because there's a big class action suit because they're mandating all vaccines for all school children, and Even nice. The ones that are already in wheelchairs from the vaccines. I mean, there's this one kid that keeps showing up at the legislator committees and stuff in his wheelchair, you know, with the stacks of petitions and all this stuff. Because he was fine until one particular vaccine put him in a wheelchair. And so, you know, so they don't want to cover this stuff. And you know, in Arizona and other parts of the country, we're not hearing about this court case in California that much because they're trying to implement it in Ohio and other states because they want to make it all mandatory all the time. And it's just not medically appropriate for people. But number two, it's a more legal question than a medical question. You know, who's the government to come and force you to take shots of disease particles and metallic adjuvants? But aluminum is a very common adjuvant, and so is thimerosal, which is a mercury base, and that's a metal. So people that realize too late after they've taken injections, then they try these detox diets. Well, maybe that's what Shelley needs to do, and she might, we took the time to read this guy's whole article and his second article about detoxing, we could see how he's helping his Parkinson's.
Can you detox a child? Could a child go through a detox?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, but you can detox a child, but it doesn't always undo the damage. Because what it does is, the aluminum kind of gets sucked into the brain. It's attracted to fat, and your brain is largely fat. And particularly a very young child has a very thin blood-brain barrier. And so their little brains can't absorb the aluminum. And it does damage. It's like trimming back, the new sprouts on a plant. You know, it's like, is it going to recover or not? And this one man, and one of my early episodes, this man Greg Wyatt, he's got a YouTube channel. Both his kids are vaccine damaged, and his 18-year-old functions on the level of a 3-year-old, and his 16-year-old functions on the level of a 7-year-old because they figured out finally what was doing the damage because they were getting progressively worse, and so he stopped vaccinating, and so. Mm-hmm. I mean, neither of them would be able to take care of themselves. And so he's scared to death for the day that he outlives his children. I mean, that he predeceases his children because he doesn't know how they're going to live. Who's going to feed them? Who's going to change the older one's diapers? He's still in diapers and he's 18 years old. But he said they went through all the detoxing processes. The diets and this diet and that diet for detoxing and the what do they call it? The bariatric pressure machines. What do they do? Where they put you under pressure, and it's really good for wound healing and stuff like that. But they were not able to undo the damage. And probably, maybe they're relatively healthy now, but they're mentally impaired. And he says they were not able to undo that damage. So maybe because they were children. Yes.
Let's see. Okay, so there's an injection that the young child gets an injection that includes aluminum. Okay, so this aluminum is like there's molecules of aluminum that will go up into the child's brain. And what do they do? Does each of the molecules of aluminum destroy some normal brain cells? Is it attracted to one particular part of the brain, perhaps? Well, how do you suppose it actually works in real life? These aluminum things.
They've identified aluminum as a major. Player in Alzheimer's, aluminum is not to the brain.
Do they stay there or do they circulate? If they circulate in the bloodstream, perhaps they can
there,
be filtered
so
out.
They detox them out. It's not something you see.
By
injecting
them,
you're bypassing the body's normal fight. Like if you were to eat this stuff, I mean, it's too horrible to contemplate eating it, so why would you inject it? But at least you have a fighting chance if you swallow this stuff. You know, your immune system, the first place your immune system lives is in your gut, and to take out toxins and bacteria, bad stuff. But once you've injected it, you bypass the whole the first defense of the immune system. So then it circulates and it accumulates to different parts of the body and places where it never meant to be in the first place. So your body has trouble extracting it and getting rid of it. So you have to try these different chemical means of bonding to it, like borax will bond with the fluoride and essentially put it back into circulation and you're able to excrete it.
We've got to get that aluminum out of the kid's brain is what it sounds like. And if it's in circulation,
it's already done damage there. So, Yeah. But it's already done damage.
But if it
stays
in the brain.
So you can't just put my, I guess the point I'm trying to say is you can't just say, oh, well, get the kid vaccinated anyway, and then we'll just go home and detox. You're taking a hell of a risk. You know, because you can't be sure, even if you detox successfully, if they're going to recover from the damage. You know,
I gotcha.
You know, there are people out there with papers and stuff that, you know, they can identify. You know, most people only get by with just a little bit of damage, so little that you almost can't identify it. But this one guy can look at a child's face and a particular type of asymmetry. He says this child is having mini strokes, you know, which is a stroke of the brain thing. Mini strokes just from the vaccines. And he says that happens 100% of the time. And, you know, most of us get through life, but there is a certain percentage of the population with a certain genetic makeup that they absolutely can't process out this stuff, and they suffer. And, you know, most of us can process out stuff over time, but there's some people that just can't. It's a, you know, it's like
a racial or ethnic component to that, I wonder.
There might be.
For example, with black people,
better
to process this than others.
It could be, well, certainly they have identified that whistleblower that came out identified that little black boys are more susceptible to autism from the MMR vaccine than the general population. And so, you know, but I certainly think that dietary, you know, detoxing for Hillary and Bill might indeed help them. In fact, the problem might even just be the fluoride, because, you know, the fluoride, it just helps the borax, helps they call it decalcify your pineal gland in your brain. And I'm sure there's other parts of your body and your bones. If it cures arthritis, then you're putting your calcium where it belongs rather than along your arteries. And he might even, you know, if he were to start early enough, he could decalcify that heart of his and maybe live a little longer. So I don't know. I don't know what they're eating and drinking, and so I can't say, you know, even I can't even Google up what they would
need to
detox.
You don't know if they're having bottled water, you don't know what. I wonder what the tap water is like in the White House. You know, maybe it's.
I'm sure they have all the right reverse osmosis and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do.
They must be having.
They probably
eat
the sheltered life.
I think so. Yeah.
So it might not, probably not, maybe it's not water anymore for them. If they're drinking bottled water, I guess it depends on the type of bottled water. I don't know.
For Hillary to do all this Secretary of State business, traveling around the world, did she need a lot of shots? She must have had a lot of inoculations.
I'll bet you, oh my gosh, you're probably right. I know when my son traveled over
Africa
with the
and she was Africa and
yeah, they
Asia,
gave the opportunity. Yeah, they when my son went to Asia and Hong Kong and Korea and Kazakhstan, exotic places. You know, they had this list of recommended vaccines. And at that point, we had gotten them the regular American vaccines, but there were some pretty exotic ones that they said, well, you might want to consider getting. And we just thought, you know what? No. And we weren't even hot on the anti-vax trail at the time. We're just like, at the time, it was like, you know what? No. it just seemed like the vaccine was a higher risk than sending our child in a modern airplane to stay in modern hotels or families, you know, and surrounded mostly by their American friends most of the time. It just seemed like we just didn't do it, and he's been fine.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, years since then. You know, he's an adult now.
If she's been
I apologize.
Having all these health problems, then you know, it might be because the vaccination started at the same time when she became Secretary of State. That's when she had all the vaccinations.
And it's still traveled with her, yeah. Now, I really have to apologize because we are out of time, and I really welcome, thank everybody for joining us, and I'm really, I hope that you'll join us again next week. I hope you found it interesting. So
thank you,
see you all soon. Thank you.
Bye.